You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Elle's just saying goodbye. We're saying goodbye to Elle. And it's all happening, Don, because the doc is about to ring in and we have in the house, we
Fiona.
Have one of the two combatants who had dueling 60th birthday celebrations. We've got the Whiz, the man who took the mark of the century for 8 years in a row when he played for the Swans. The Whiz is here and Ricky Nixon is coming in. And we're going to chat as to just why there's been a huge falling out between the two great stars of stage, screen and anything else you like to self-promotion. Yeah. And you've heard of the Rumble in the Jungle, the affair in Zaire, and the, what was the other one? The affair, the Rumble in the Jungle and the
Thriller in Manila.
Thriller in Manila. Yeah. Well, this is the commotion near the ocean.
Yeah. Sounds like my porno.
The commotion, Warwick, please.
Is that on?
No, of course it's on. Oh, and we're waiting for, just a minute.
Unknown caller.
There he is. He's called in. All right. Please.
He's called in.
Come on. Here we go.
It's not bad.
Just. Doc.
I'm alive.
You won't believe who's sitting next to me.
Are you appearing under duress today, Doc?
No. Let me try and guess, first of all, before we talk about duress. Guess, I've got two guesses, either Ricky Nixon or Warwick Kappa.
We've got both of them. They're just...
We've got one at the moment.
Got
we're
one
hoping
at the,
other one turns
Ricky
up.
Ricky Nixon's about to turn up and we're going to explore...
Dumb and Dumber. He's both.
The great fracas that has been dueling 60th birthday parties and we're going to keep them at arm's length. And
well, you haven't also told him about, we've got a man with a rabbit on his shoulder as well.
Can I just say,
go, Doc.
I think the whole country is waiting in anticipation for the 61st birthday parties of Ricky and Warwick. I mean, have you had more publicity for a 60th birthday party in the history of birthday parties? I think not. And
yes,
Sam, I mean, what an honour for you. You're invited to both of these shindigs.
Well, here's Warwick. Now, Warwick thinks you're a star.
How are you, mate?
Good.
G'day, Warwick. How are you, mate?
Good to talk to me, old Sydney, mate. How are you? Benny, boy?
Good, mate. So tell me, mate, what did the final bar tab come in at, mate?
I think about 12 grand, but they paid most of that. I paid three, and that lasted about 40 minutes. And like Ricky's party, I had about 400 people. He had about 30. And they were all gangsters.
You know what? It's a great shame, right? We're two national icons, you know, national living treasures who haven't officially been named as national living treasures yet. They fall out over a birthday cake.
I do admire your honesty, Sam. I admire your honesty. There's two legends on both of them, two icons, and Ricky Nixon. But yeah. I didn't want to actually invite Ricky to my party because he would have scared the kids. I told him to take his mask off, but he wasn't wearing one.
Now, Doc, could I just ask you? We have suddenly slipped into the abyss down here in Victoria. We have disgraced the whole world because we've cancelled a huge sporting event just at the stroke of a pen. We've decided, no, we're not going. We electioneered on the fact that we'd have the Commonwealth Games, and now we've just cancelled them.
Here's my prediction.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Here's my prediction. The Herald Sun or The Age will conduct a poll in the next week and they will ask Victorians their feelings about the decision made yesterday by Daniel Andrews. And I think the people of Victoria will support him for making the decision. I think it'll play in his favour. I think for all of the people out there who've got very genuine criticisms of Daniel Andrews, this bloke can get away with murder. I mean, he could run down a grandma in his car and then back over it three times, and then people would still say, geez, he looks like a nice bloke. I mean, no matter what he does, he manages to get out of trouble. And I thought the line that he delivered in the press conference yesterday, the killer line, he said, I've made some really tough decisions in this job, some really tough decisions, and this is not one of them. I mean, at the end of the day, this was going to have a massive price tag associated with it. I know he made promises. I know he's broken those promises. But you watch the way the world works and the focus at the moment on hospitals and schools and the cost of living. I reckon, and you guys will probably correct me if I'm wrong because you actually live in Victoria, I reckon the people of Victoria, when they're polled by The Age or The Herald Sun, will say, we support him in making this decision. Well, am I wrong?
Strangely enough, Don and I said almost exactly that we didn't think it was worth having the Commonwealth Games. But the fact is, it was dishonest electioneering. He said that they had won the tender to have the Commonwealth Games. This was before the last election. Everyone in the country thought, oh, it's great, we're all going to just reap the benefits of it, so we'll vote for Dan, we'll vote for the government, and then just to, as a cynical stroke, to cancel it because they can't do their sums or they're over budget and about 800 other things they're doing, they've just cancelled it. That's our point, my point.
Okay, so you thought it was a waste of money?
Yes.
Yeah,
I
thought it was too.
You're on Team Dan.
No, I'm not, mate. I'm just saying, don't go out and say to the electorate before an election, we've won the tender, we're going on with the games, all the regional areas are going to benefit for it. It was false electioneering. If you can't work out the fact that you were going well...
But can I just make a point to everyone who's in the room at the moment and those listening on this wonderful award-winning podcast?
Thank you, Ed.
Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you've been with a woman or a man or whoever you might have fallen in love with and you say, I love you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and then circumstances change and you think, get me the hell out of here. There's no difference here. Yes, he shouldn't have broken a promise, but would you rather him continue with a broken promise or with a promise that was going to lead to $6 or $7 billion being spent by Victorian taxpayers, or do you back up the truck and go, I'm going to reverse this thing and get out of here? I look at what Dan Andrews did yesterday, and I think if only Anthony Albanese did this on The Voice at the moment. I've had the Prime Minister in the studio this morning for what was supposed to be a 15-minute interview, and it went for about 35 minutes because it was just, and I encourage people, if you get a chance, it's up on 2GB.com. Go and have a listen to it because it was explosive. It was emotional. And I ended up pleading with the PM to say, look, 90% of Australians want to recognise Indigenous Australians in the Constitution. It's a wildly popular idea, but your voice is nowhere near as popular. It is sinking in the polls. So wouldn't it be smarter for Albo to do what Dan Andrews did yesterday and say, I'm going to read the room and I'm going to change my approach.
Now, Doc.
Yes.
If I was going out with a woman and decided it wasn't going anywhere, I would move on and try and grab another woman.
So would I. Straight away.
So you said, Doc.
I'll give you my movies.
You said, Doc, that he suddenly realised it was a $6 or $7 billion exercise. My point is that he must, if he didn't know that, how incompetent is it that he wouldn't know and his government wouldn't know that that was going to be the price tag before he pumped up his chest and said, oh, we've won the tender for the Commonwealth Games. That is, he must have known that, or if he didn't know that, that's exactly why they shouldn't be in government, because they can't do their sums.
Well, look, I want to hear from Don on this, but I just say two things. One, that's what happens when you bring consultants in. He hired outside consultants, and we have given $10 billion as a country to consultants in the last 10 years. It's a disgrace, but on the cost blowout, have you ever had a builder come to your place and they give you a quote on something, and then all of a sudden they discover something behind the floorboards, there's something else behind the wall, and then they say, oh, you know that $4,000 quote, that's now $7,000, and by the time you pay for it, it's $9,000. It happens all of the time. The price of everything's going up. So, look, I think he's made a pragmatic decision. But
of course,
yeah,
he
I'll
has.
Just tell you one little thing. I'll just tell you one little thing just on this interview with Albo today, because I reckon you're going to be interested in it. There was a moment in the interview where I was repeating back to Anthony Albanese what some of these voice architects have been saying about tearing down institutions and punishing politicians who don't listen to the voice. While I was reading it to him, the Prime Minister, sitting in the studio with me, said, you're reading from the No pamphlet. And I said, no, I'm not. And he accused me, and I said, and it became quite fiery, because I think I said, excuse me, to the Prime Minister about four times.
Right.
He was accusing me of just parroting whatever.
Excuse me, Ben, you said, didn't you?
Quiet, yeah, well, Warwick, please.
He was accusing me of just parroting whatever I'd read in the No pamphlet, because yesterday the Yes side and the No side put out their pamphlets. And as I said to the Prime Minister, no, I'm not. I'm reading back to you. And I showed him the piece of paper to show that it wasn't the No pamphlet. And then he said, oh, no, I didn't say that. Well, he did. But I encourage people to go and have a listen to it if you're interested in the voice.
Hey, Ben, Don wants to say something.
Ben.
Yes, Don.
Did you ask him how much this has cost the taxpayer with regard to getting people on side, the various sportsmen, and also the publicity that's gone so far?
You mean Andrews?
No, Albanese.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, look, we already know. I mean, the referendum's costing a couple of $100 million, but I mean, the bigger expense here that's going on, and this is part of the disgrace of the whole thing, is that we spend billions of dollars every year trying to solve these problems in Indigenous communities. But 50. Do you know what the percentage is of that money that actually lands on the ground in the Indigenous communities? 27% of the money actually makes it to the places where they need it. And the Prime Minister wants to introduce another...
Where does the rest of it go?
Well, it goes into committees and bureaucracies. And, you know, you've got in one Indigenous organisation, you've got people who are earning, you know, more than $250,000 every year. And it's like that money needs to be going to the people who need it. It needs to be going on the ground. And that's where I think the PM's got a real problem on his hands. And I just read him the news poll numbers today to say, can you not see where this is going? It was at 60% support, then 55, then 51. Now it's 40-something. This thing's falling through the floor.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons is because Australians aren't big fans of committees. They want people who make decisions, get stuff done, and take responsibility. And if you're the Prime Minister or the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, we expect you to solve these problems, not outsource the job to The Voice or anything else. But as I said to the Prime Minister, you can have a win-win here. You can legislate your voice, and you can ask all of us to vote on recognition. The figure would be 90% plus that would say yes.
Go on.
But instead, you're risking that very important thing by tying the two of them together. Mm. And if one goes down, they both go down.
Well, so listen, you're all fired
well
up.
Well said,
today.
Ben. Well said, young man.
Now, you're all fired
Thank
up.
Thank you very much.
You're learning.
Oh, shit, Warwick.
Come on, Don.
You're all fired up, Ben. Can we change the subject?
What a lot of people don't know is that Warwick Kappa has been a mentor of mine for many years.
You're welcome, mate.
He helps me. Hey, Ben. Before I do a big interview, I always think, what would Warwick do?
Hey, Ben, I was in Dad's bags when you were in Baghdad.
Oh,
Caps goes boom once again.
Oh, God.
Get
us out of this, Ben.
It's just a parody of words, young man.
Yeah, I see. And Don, how are you, my friend?
Now, listen, I'd like to change this. So I'm good, thank you, Ben. Now, listen.
Don was a good player, Ben.
Ben, the media. Now, you're involved in the media. What worries me is about your opposition. You're competing against the ABC. How much money, or has it been tabulated as to how much the ABC has paid out in defamation over the last couple of years?
Well, I told you guys some time ago, Warwick, are you talking?
Oh, sorry, mate.
No, we're on. We're good.
No, he's not. He's not talking.
Sorry, mate.
Okay.
Apologize.
No, that's all right.
Benny
that's
boy, right. He called you.
Hey, Ben. A lot of voices here.
Hey, Ben, I love you like a
brother. Shut up, Warwick.
Hey, Ben, I love you like a brother. I'm from Tasmania.
Warwick, just let me answer Don's question.
You're welcome.
Don, I told you guys on this podcast some time ago that I was going into bat for some Australian soldiers who'd been wrongly accused of war crimes by the ABC. Well, that case is about to blow right up because now the ABC has been waving the white flag now, admitting that they couldn't prove what they claimed against these Australian soldiers.
That's right.
That case will probably end up costing you, me and everyone else $1 million plus in damages and legal costs and everything else. So look, the ABC do some good work. When they do it well, they do it really well. But I'll tell you what, on cases like the one that I've been highlighting,
but there are others.
I know there are others. Media Watch has supported me on this one, surprisingly. They've even taken on the ABC's reporter over the same thing. So that one's going to be $1 million. But look, the bigger defamation payout is going to be, or the biggest defamation case, I suppose, this year is the Ben Robert Smith one. I mean, that one climbed above $20 million when it comes to how much money Kerry Stokes spent trying to get a defamation victory for Ben Robert Smith, but it blew up in his face. And and the Nine Network, who I work for, because they publish the stories in the Sydney Morning Herald and in the Age and in the Canberra Times. They won't have to pay anything. However, Ben Robert Smith is appealing that one. So, you know,
and, then you've got the Brittany Higgins thing. This is another government thing, a payout of $3 million. The girl said she couldn't work, or they gave it on that pretext, yet she's got a job overseas now.
Yeah, she got a $3 million payout. They sorted that in about 24 hours. And, of course, Bruce Lehrman, he's now suing a number of media outlets, including Channel 10, and I'm trying to think of the other one that he's suing as well. Is it the ABC? I'm not entirely sure. But Bruce Lehrman is now taking legal action over defamation as well, over the way some media outlets have reported on that case as well. So you've got to be very careful what you say, as you guys well know, Sam, hosting this podcast.
And so Doc, just on the...
Yeah.
So we were talking about what it would cost for the Voice and the Albanese government. Have you thought of what it is going to cost the Victorian public for the Victorian government to cancel the Commonwealth Games, with people suing them for breach of contract? And also, we spent $1 billion of taxpayers' money when they cancelled the East-West link before the election before last. It cost us $1 billion because he just cancelled that with the stroke of a pen. What will it cost us in fines to cancel out the Commonwealth Games, do you reckon?
Well, they're saying today potentially millions of dollars that'll have to be paid, but Dan will fight that, and that'll come down to a legal fight as well. Is the Commonwealth Games really going to want to take legal action against the Victorian government? That might scare off future cities that agree to host the Games or engage in discussions with them. I don't know whether it'll go to court, but certainly the Commonwealth Games organisers are suggesting through lawyers that they'll be seeking millions of dollars in damages from the Victorian government, which, as you know, means you guys, the Victorian taxpayers.
The Commonwealth Games are an anachronism. We know that, but it's not the point, Doc. The point is that you can't go out and beat your chest and make yourself a big man and big government by saying that we bid for them and we've got them and everyone will benefit, and then just for expediency, just drop out. It's pathetic.
Now, listen, can I just switch from all of the politics and all of the dark and dreary kind of topics for a moment?
Sleeping pill.
And just talk about love, because I just want to know.
That's more like it. I'll send you a copy of my porno, Ben. Talking about love.
I've seen it, Warwick. I've seen it.
I've got a big mirror.
Yeah, well, it was only 16 seconds, the version I saw. So
10 seconds, and that was your mirror.
Now, listen, who's in love at the moment? Sam.
Yeah. Am I in love?
Yeah, Sam's got the new missus, yep.
We're going to see if we can find love. On Saturday, we're going to Between Friends Wine Bar, all of us. Phoebe, Don, me and Sue.
Susan, you missus. Yep.
And the wine bar is a swingers club, Ben, if you didn't realize.
I heard you talking to the proprietors on a previous podcast when I was overseas.
Perfect.
What a fascinating business that they've put together, those guys. It's neon night. Very, very interesting.
It's neon night on Saturday, where you've got to wear white gear so that the strobe lighting, and you can go in body paint if you wish. We thought Don might paint his member and pretend he's a snake or something.
And I'll give him a pair of my swan's tight shorts for his nice anus.
You won't be going, Warwick.
I might crash that party.
Don looks like he's in fancy dress most days, as we know, so he doesn't need to do too much. And Warwick Kappa in the shorts. I mean, you think about the hot pants that Kylie Minogue once wore.
Yes, Ben, they did call me Captain Cucumber, Ben.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, have you ever trademarked that? Have you got any money out of it, Warwick? How did it work?
Oh, I actually trademarked my names. That's gone quite well. So we sued Nando's last year, picked up 100 because they forgot to pay me. But yes, I should trade. I trademarked everything else. I got my own wine and beer and energy drinks. So I should trademark the shorts.
Warwick, we know how you feel about Ricky Nixon. We've covered that already.
We're waiting for him to come.
Yeah.
Are there any other celebrities who you've had battles with? Who else do you hate?
Probably the ex-wife, because we used to fight for the Mirror. And same with Pamela Anderson. I did a commercial with her last year, and she got more tickets on herself than Warwick Kappa. Oh, Pam. Couldn't believe it. But, it was good.
Doc, and how are you and the bride going? Did you go overseas?
Yeah, we're great, Sam.
Did you go?
Yeah, we went to... We went to Singapore and Phuket. Beautiful. And caught up with a couple of mates over there, and the kids had a great time. And, you know, we're walking down the street in Patong in Phuket, and I'd warn the kids. I said, look, you know, because we're staying in a nice resort and whatever. And I said, now, once you go outside the walls of the resort...
What do you have for the he-she's? Have you warned the kids?
I just kind of said, just be a little bit careful.
I love the he-she's. I've been there several times.
Be a little bit careful because it's just different when you're out there, right? And, you know, it can be a bit confronting. And anyway, so we go into Patong and this bloke walks up to Freddie, who's 8, and starts trying to sell him watches. And then another bloke starts showing photos of guns to Freddie. Yep. And Freddie just looked at me and said, this is the best ever.
He wants to come back.
Fantastic. How old's Freddie?
He's 8, and I thought if only he knew what goes on in some of these joints after dark. So, look, it was a lot of fun. I was listening to the podcast. I heard Don suggesting that there might be some problem developing between myself and Sam. Don, like super glue, mate. We are like super glue, like that Tarzan super grip.
Correct.
We can never be separated.
And you had huge rating success. We've done all that, haven't we?
They go up, they go down. I just keep on going. But I just want to make sure, Don, cool, I just want to make sure you're in no doubt. Even though Sam has fallen out with just about everyone else in his life, I'm sticking around for good.
Well, Doc, great that we only get to where we are just because you come on every other week, and we didn't want to.
Oh, come on!
Three cheers for Benny Borbag.
And Sam,
Benny Borbag.
I'm so glad to know. I know that you've had some situations happen in your life in the last couple of years that none of us would ever imagine that anyone would go through, and I know it's difficult when it comes to love life and romance after recovering from something like that, and I know it's not an easy recovery, but to know that you're finding happiness again makes me happy.
Yeah. I'm starting to get an erection too. I'm starting to get blood myself, Ben. I'm starting to thicken up.
Doc.
Well, there's a headline for the Herald Sun. Love you, boys.
All the best.
See you in Thailand for the he-she's.
Bye-bye.
See you, mate. Bye.
Where's Ricky? Is he scared to face me?
No, hang on. Now, we're just winding this up. So we're going to come back, Don. We're going to we're just coming back a little later after this.
Here, get ready for the fight.
Way to stop.
This will be good.
I'm hoping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because